The Pro Tools Expert Podcast with Russ Hughes, Dan Cooper, and Julian Rogers.
Well, good evening and welcome to Pro Tools Expert Podcast number 338. It's the 24th of September 2018. I'm Russ Hughes.
I'm Dan Cooper.
And I'm Julian Rogers.
Good. We've got that out of the way. Dan, sponsors.
Yes. Michael Carnes from Exponential Audio has shared a great tip on making great sounding small rooms. Michael has made a video tutorial using Phoenix Verb, but the trick will work with all Exponential Audio reverb. We also have a podcast exclusive deal from Exponential Audio, but you'll have to wait a little while to hear about that.
Good. Julian, it's usually Dan's deals. So Julian's deals doesn't have quite the I can't even say it. Another drink, alliterative ring to it.
Yeah, I think rather than knock off electricals down the East End, Julian's deals would be some kind of disreputable antiques dealer.
Julian's finds.
Don't forget to check out the deals from our partners on our deals page. Highlights include Isotope offering introductory prices on RX7, Insight 2, and their new post-production suite 3. Avid and Audient are both offering special discounts for students, and Softube are having a reverb deal month.
Ooh, great. Mm. Well, it's time for talking points, and while we play you the jingle, I'm going to take my jumper off because my studio is hotter than hell tonight. So over to you, Fab.
Good morning, children. This is Fab DuPont. The Pro Tools Expert Podcast Talking Points are brought to you with the support of Universal Radio.
Do you have some Universal Audio plugins that are missing from your collection you've always wanted to own? Well, right now, the team at UA are offering you the chance to build your own custom plugin bundles of 3, 6, or 10 plugins for one low price and save over 60%. Just pick your bundle option and then choose your plugins. It's that simple. You can find out more in the podcast notes.
So, Russ, first talking point. One of yours, I believe. Your studio lifestyle may be killing you. Here's how to stop it happening fast. Very interesting read. And a lot of this was speaking to me. And I'm sure a lot of others as well reading this, because we do all sit in our man caves, woman caves, studio caves, if you will, for long periods of time. And we get on with our work and we don't really think too much about us, our health, our mental health, you know, what it does to us by sitting still for so long. What made you write this?
Because I came to my senses a few months ago. And if you read the article, you'll see. What can I just say, actually? We write all sorts of stuff. We write stuff on plugins and products, reviews. This was probably one of the most read stories of the year on the blog, which is insane because it obviously is resonating with people, that they all feel, as I felt a few months ago, that the combination of a sedentary lifestyle, poor diet, little or no exercise, not enough sleep, is just a recipe for an early death. It's as simple as that. And that's why the headline wasn't clickbait. It was true, is that I reckon that if you carried on like that, you'd shave 10 years off your life. So, as I said in the story, I'm 52 and my wife has been saying to me for as long as I could remember, I'd like Aoife to have a daddy when she grows up. That's my daughter who's 4 this Christmas. And so, I don't know, about two and a half months ago, I sat one Saturday night, Anna was out with her friend and I was in front of the TV eating some takeaway and I just felt like crap and I thought, enough is enough. And I'm one of these people, you know, you can't talk me into doing anything, but once I decide to do something, I have kind of light bulb moments. And that was for me a light bulb moment when I thought, I just can't do this anymore. And overnight, I decided I was going to do something about my weight. I was going to exercise. I'm running 3 times a week now.
Wow.
I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock at night. And it's interesting, you know, if I go to bed after 10 o'clock at night, I don't sleep. If I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I will sleep from about 10 till 7 the next morning or 6 when I get up to do stuff. So I can get a good 8 hours a night.
So changed your routines and you changed your lifestyle and you're feeling better for it.
Oh, in every way, mentally, I'm wearing clothes. I had a pair of jeans in the wardrobe I was refusing to throw out, and I put them on for the first time on Friday when Anna and I went out for the evening for a babysitter for the night. You know, if you've got kids, you'll realize that's probably a once in a lifetime experience. I just took the obvious approach. The one thing I learned last time I tried to sort my life out, and I've been here before, is that if your body has a choice, it will always burn sugar over fat. So if you keep eating sugar, you will not lose weight because it's lazy. It thinks, oh, glucose or fat, I'll go for the glucose burn every time. And so refined sugars out the diet, no sweets, no chocolate. And I tell you what, going into a petrol station now is like going into a... I get the cold sweats as I walk to pay for petrol as I'm walking past that. It's like the walk of hell as you walk past the chocolate counter on the right, and I'm desperate to buy some. And to be honest, I'm at a point already where... You can read the... I won't read the article to you, but I just felt like... I just didn't want to feel like this anymore. And I just wanted to feel sharper and more on it. And I hadn't for a long time. I'd be facing deadlines some weeks and just couldn't get my act together. But I had to hit the deadline. And I would hit the deadline, but go and read it. So, stone and a half down.
Well done.
Migraines have disappeared. No more neck issues. My back pains are largely gone. My stomach issues have miraculously disappeared. My toilet experiences aren't as they used to be, which was something you didn't want to talk about. I'm sleeping more. I've got more energy, more concentration, and I feel better. So I don't know how you guys feel about yourselves at the moment. But
Funny you say that.
Totally wretched after that. Yeah.
I don't want you to feel guilty or wretched. I just want to say it's the start of a discussion of how we make sure we take care of ourselves.
No, I'm exaggerating anyway, because you catch me on a regime at the moment, and I've had the healthiest day I've had in months, and it depends on your starting point, really. But everyone's got their own weaknesses. I mean, the thing that I heard that really made me pay attention to what you were saying, Russ, was you were talking about sugar. Sugar's just not a thing for me at all. My vices lie elsewhere. But it's just kind of like, yeah, bleh, I can take it or leave it. But we've all got our own, you know, things that we're drawn to. And, I'm not quite sure what mine are, apart from just eating too much and not doing enough. But, you know, that's kind of pretty standard sort of, you know, guy in his late 40s fare, really, for most people. And, you know, it's not that hard to change. I feel pretty positive about that stuff.
Yeah.
But any kind of change is good. I was going to say killer. I'll avoid language like that. The one that we all have to watch.
That.
The one that we all have to watch, and I'm so aware of, is just moving too little, and I'm so aware of that. I've got the most sedentary lifestyle I've ever had, and it's, you know, the world's out there. Any time I can stop what I'm doing and go out and go for a walk, which I quite enjoy, and I live in a nice place with lots of places to walk, but I don't. Because I'm always rushing to get finished so that I can forget about the thing that I've been doing. And that's my biggest thing that I need to kind of pay some attention to, is just the fact that the work will still be there when you get back, but there's no point working the whole way through the day and it being dark and not really particularly outside-y kind of time of day. And you've worked through the ideal time to actually not be sedentary. If
you burn yourself out,
you go downstairs.
You burn yourself out before you actually need to do stuff for yourself through work. It's very easy to do. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, do you guys? That's interesting, because I was until recently one of these people that if I had a day to do stuff in, then I would work on it until I could then go out and have my walk or whatever. And so all the kind of health stuff was not done until I'd sort of completed my deadlines and stuff. And sometimes it was 6 p.m. And it was like the dog didn't get walked until 5 p.m. some nights. And rather than me breaking up the middle of the day and taking a break and getting out the studio, I'd wait until the lastminute.com kind of thing. And then
exactly the thing same. That I was just describing.
Exactly
yeah, yeah.
The same. Yeah. Yep, I've missed lunch because of it as well. I've had a really busy day. I just don't think I've got half an hour to have lunch because I've got to be finished at 4 o'clock when the kids come home. And I'll go all the way through and I get to the end of my 4 o'clock. I'm like, why did I do that? I'm absolutely starving. I've got a headache. And I got my work done at 3. Do you know what I mean? It's like I over sort of worried about the day where I should have just stopped, had lunch, got on with it.
I'm feeling very good about that stuff, just because the thing that we've been doing all this summer, really, and it's been easy with the weather we've had in the UK this summer. It's just been amazing. Is I live very close to Burghley Park, which, I mean, I know people who are into horses in the UK will know from the equestrian event they run there. But, you know, big stately home, parkland stuff, lovely, lovely. And it's literally 5 minutes away. And just going up there every morning before anything else. And I mean, you know, we're talking before breakfast. Cup of tea, out, go and have a walk. You've done kind of just like a little 3 mile thing and you come back and you start working. It does not impact on my day. But doing it first, because I know once I start, I won't break. And this is kind of like adapting to kind of how you are, you see. So that's working for me at the moment. And it's yeah,
you know,
it's a very good
thing.
You
know, your studio lifestyle can also affect you when you're not working. I recently bought a bedside alarm clock. And my wife said to me, "Why have you bought that?" And I said, "Because I'm sick and tired of my phone waking me up in the morning." Well, it's not like waking me up, but I'll see my notifications and it's emails from clients and whatnot. And I always feel drawn to look at that. And even if I don't reply, I might just read a couple, and an email can put you in a tailspin before you've even had your breakfast. And I'm sick and tired of it. So my phone, when I go to bed, lives downstairs, and the bedside alarm clock is there purely to tell me the time in the morning. So I really do now switch off from work at, you know, whatever time. I mean, I don't check my phone in the evenings anyway, but I do not wake up to work anymore. And I'm so much happier for it. So when I come down the studio, I feel like I've got the power to start whatever I need to start doing, not feel as I've got to run down the studio with a bit of toast in my mouth going, "Oh, this day's just got busy and I've barely started." And when you start days like that, you don't prepare for the day. And that's when you start to not look after yourself in the day. And if that happens frequently, 5 days a week, 4 weeks in a month, around again, you're not looking after yourself. It's as simple as that. And it's like, Russ, what you said, you know, you came to the decision yourself to start looking after yourself. And that kind of decision can only come from yourself. Do you know what I mean? You can be told by friends and colleagues and whatnot, you may be working a bit too hard, or you're burning the midnight oil, but you don't think that you're doing anything wrong because it's work. It's work,
yeah.
You know, it's work in the audio industry. It's bloody hard. You know, you do have to work hard, but you have to work hard at yourself as well.
Well, it's the lie we tell ourselves that we're doing something like... the one thing you'll say to your wife if you're overworking is, "Well, somebody has to pay for all this stuff." Do you know what I mean? You come out with all this kind of crap lines.
Bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, Anna just beats me to death if I try that one on her. But
there's a phrase to describe that. That's doing the wrong thing for the right reasons.
But it's not even true. What you're trying to justify being in your studio all night. You're trying to justify missing your lunch. You're trying to justify not spending time with your family. And you go, "Well, we've got a mortgage to pay, or we've got this," or whatever. Whichever way you couch that bullshit, that. There's always going to be work to do. That's the reality, isn't there? There's always going to be some more time you can spend on that project, or some more time on that song or whatever you're doing. And the reality is you've just got to stop. You've got to eat well. The other thing is I'm drinking shed loads of water like I've never done before.
Same.
I've realised I've taken tea out of my diet, because if I drink tea, I pee like a pensioner. If there's such a word, if that's not too pejorative to say that. But you know what I mean? My bladder control goes out the window if I just drink tea. So I stopped drinking it, and now I can drink copious amounts of water without spending most of the morning in the bathroom. Or as the Americans call it, a restroom. But yet I'm yet to go in one with a sofa, so I'll stick to bathroom if I may. So there is that kind of lie, isn't there? I've got to do this. It's important. I'm important. The world will end if I don't carry on working all day.
This is also actually a bigger topic. You know, your studio lifestyle may be killing you. It can also really hurt relationships, you know, as well. I've lost friends over the last 8 years, 10 years, however long I've been doing this self-employed lark, just because I simply didn't have the time, you know, and new friends I've made are within the industry, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but I've let friendships go just because I didn't find the time, you know. And then years pass and they move on, I move on. It's kind of like, that's a real shame. You know what I mean? Shame I didn't make the effort, you know, to respond to an evening down at the pub or the restaurant or wherever, just to catch up with my mates. I just went, I'm working late tonight. I have to because I'm self-employed, you know. But it's a Saturday night. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true. Tell us your stories. It was a very, very well-received article, as I say. It was one of the most read articles we've written this year, and surprisingly, it was about health and stuff. But I think this is resonating with a lot of us these days. I think a lot of us are tired and broke and all those other things, and we just need to take stock of this because hopefully we're going to be around for a lot longer. Competitions this month. We are offering the chance to win a copy of Oaksand Spiff or Suv. I always thought Spiff was somebody who tried to sell you stuff in the East End. But that's a Spiff, isn't it? Both plugins are worth €149 each, and we have three of each plugin for grabs in the price pot, worth nearly €900.
Yes.
This month, the team at Puzzle Factory Sound Studios are giving the production expert community an exclusive chance to win one of two tickets for the next Mix Direction Masterclass with mix engineer Daz Linear. We've been doing a series of videos with Dax. That's a cleaning product with Dax, and they've been brilliant. I don't know if you've watched any. If you haven't, go and look him up on the blog. Just put Dax into the search engine, and he's done one on EQ and one on compression.
There's one coming up. He's working on with James at the minute. You can guess what that one's about. Hmm. Just take a guess.
How to stop buying stuff. If he's doing it with James. While I'm on this, Julian, I've not had a chance to watch it, but you did a video over the weekend, how to remove tremolo using a compressor. Can I ask you to give us the punchline on that or not?
That I was quite careful to explain after the title that the point of it wasn't to remove tremolo. If you don't want tremolo on something, don't put it on. But what it was it occurred to me that everybody, including me, when they're kind of exploring compression, use percussive sources. Usually just get some drums up, have a play. But it's kind of different with sounds that start more gradually, with softer attack sounds. And it just occurred to me that you can, by playing around with the attack and release times, with something that varies over time in a regular way, like tremolo, you can manipulate the shape of it. And it kind of gives a bit of an insight onto what happens using compression on sounds with softer attacks and slower releases. And that was the point of it. But if you want to remove tremolo, yeah, you can, if the tremolo is regular enough.
Right. I'm no wiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm no wiser. But the basic gist is that you basically flatten the amplitude, do you?
Yeah.
By using a compressor.
You can, and the point of it, but that wasn't the point of it, was to remove the tremolo, because that's just silly.
I love tremolo. So why would you want to remove it? Absolutely love tremolo.
It depends. If a singer's doing it when they're trying to do vibrato, it's pretty annoying.
That's just poor technique.
Our second talking point, Dan, you put yourself right out there this week, and this is another massive story this week. This got a lot of eyes on it as well, and some comments of varying degrees of appreciation or disgust. The best desktop monitor control service of all time for Pro Tools, and then you showed people why. So tell us about, why did you do that story?
Well, I dug out my old Digi 003 a little while ago. Actually, to scroll back a little bit more, a few years ago I moved house, and obviously half of the house is now in the garage because I just haven't been bothered to unpack it, and I couldn't find my 003, so I've been looking for a while thinking, I've lost the bloody thing. That's a real shame because I love that. And my wife's been getting into using Pro Tools in production and that. I thought, oh, she'll love using the 003 because she likes using my C24. So eventually I found it, pulled it out. I thought, yeah, this is cool. Got it set up, been using it for a few weeks. And it just takes me back to when I got the thing. It's brilliant. But then I kind of thought about what's available these days that is like the 003. And there's nothing like the 003. There's nothing like it since. There are control surfaces. Of course, like the Faderport 8, you've got one of those. They're very nice, and some Mackie stuff and the Icon Digital stuff, Abbey Artist Mix. But I just don't think that those control surfaces have that magic that the DigiDesign stuff had back in the day. They all sort of feel like, you know, I don't want to say sort of cheap copies, but they're not. I think they're trying to be too many things. Where the 003 was really just for Pro Tools, the control surface bit, it felt so much more integrated than, let's say, using something else that goes, which mode do you want to be in, Cubase or Logic or Pro Tools? And it never really, I don't think, does any of them particularly well. yeah, hate mail, stick it in the post and don't put a stamp on it. That's my opinion. But the 003, what made it special was it was an audio interface, audio MIDI, control surface, and a really wicked little monitor section as well, which Julian, you thanked me for earlier. Yeah, I really like it. And it's a real shame that there was never a 004. And it's a real shame that no one's really kind of making those kind of things anymore. If you think about it, they cost about £1,800 10 years ago. You've got Pro Tools, you've got an audio interface, you've got a control surface, and a wicked monitor section. That was pretty good value for money. Do you know what I mean? Really good value for money.
And it works.
And it works. And it's, you can expand it.
There was no messing around, was there? There was, no. There was less of a... As I say, these days you seem to spend half your life, one spends half their life, should I say, not you, but one, just buggering around with stuff before you can do anything. Whereas those, you just plugged them in and they worked.
And they worked. They absolutely worked. I mean, I think why we haven't seen anything like this since is because the culture has changed into people being more keen on having, let's say, a modular system. So let's say a Focusrite Scarlett for an audio interface, a Faderport 8 as a control surface, maybe something like a Mackie Big Knob for a monitor section. Careful. Do you know what I mean? You can buy all these, you can buy all these little components and you can build your own mini rig, where this was a mini rig all in one. And I liked that. You know, I also owned the 002 before that as well. And I thought that was quite a special piece of kit. And they were hugely popular, really popular. And the fact that you can pick them up now on eBay for something like £400 for a good one, and it still works with Pro Tools now, so 2018, it's kind of a bit of a bargain. I mean, I did that post a few weeks ago, didn't I? I've used... Pro Tools bargains, and that one to me stood out as a peach. You know, if I couldn't find it, I would have bought it again, sort of thing, because that's really good value.
But isn't your wife now using the 003?
Yeah, she's now got it and she absolutely loves it. She gets it because I've been teaching her sort of like, you know, control surface workflow, so mixing with two hands, not using the mouse, controlling plugins with the encoders, all those sort of things. It's more engaging, it's quicker to work, it's more fun, and she totally gets it. And yeah, it's great to watch someone, you know, do as you've taught them and their music sound better for it. And all I did was introduce the 003. Use both your hands and you can set that kick drum and bass guitar perfectly because you're putting one down, pushing one up, sort of thing. You're feeling the music and you're involved. You should see me try and mix a song with a mouse. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. I've been doing control surfaces, mixing control surfaces for years, and without them, I'm just like, I can't be bothered. It's too difficult for me doing one thing at a time.
Julian, did you ever experience either the 3 or the 2? I had a 002. This was the one that my first wife tricked me into buying. When I say tricked me, I was on an eBay auction thinking, oh, I'd love a 002. This was way, way back when I had a Digio 1 in the early days. She went, go on, bid for it. You should win that. So I bid for it and won it. And 2 weeks later, she phoned me when I was out at a meeting to say she'd found a new sofa and could she buy it? and I thought, yes, yeah, that's a cunning trick. So, but I had a 002. But and I loved it equally. It was just one of those things you just plugged in and it worked. It was magic.
Kind of, no. Really, I'm just looking at images
of
the 003. I've never used a 003 console, and I'm looking at it, and I've used a Command 8 loads, and I'm looking to just trying to identify the difference, just because they strike me as very similar, apart from kind of like a jog wheel, and there's some buttons I can't quite make out on this image I'm looking at that aren't quite the same, but broadly speaking, they look almost identical. The Command 8, it was okay. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it was, you know, it was pretty straightforward to use, and it was relatively deep. What I did have and still have is a 003 rack, which I was talking to Dan this morning about this, just because the thing that's reading this that sparked a little connection was that I've been playing around with monitors recently, and I don't have a monitor controller.
Right.
If you've only got one set of monitors, you don't need one. And I was playing around with a way of trying to simulate a monitor control in Pro Tools, and I came up against what I think might be a bug, so I'm going to have to investigate more before I kind of possibly do a post about that. But not having access to a monitor control is very annoying when you're trying to AB a set of monitors. And then I read the magic line and went, oh, of course, my 003 rack has a monitor controller built into it. I can AB between two sets of monitors.
Alternative monitors,
so
yeah.
I spent a nice afternoon auditioning between these brand X of monitor, which should be, I don't know when the piece I've written about those is going live, but it's not out yet, and my regular little Genelex. And yeah, it's the only way to appreciate the difference between two sets of monitors is to change over between them with them level match and do it instantly.
Yeah, click.
If you're swapping cables and stuff, it's meaningless. You get a broader idea that usually just kind of confirms your preconceptions, but to really hear the difference. And yeah, it was genuinely, genuinely instructive, and I'm really glad I did it. So that's the first time that's been plugged in for a while, but next time I've got two pairs of monitors that I need to listen to at the same time, it might be getting dusted off again. Mm. Crackly volume pot on all, because
yes.
That is on all
yes.
of them.
Yes, mine's but got that problem.
I was going to say, but in a way, the rack kind of didn't quite achieve what Dan was really saying here, because the great thing about the 003 or the 002 is it was all, the rack in a sense was just a glorified interface, wasn't it? Let's be blunt.
It was just
cheaper
an
option,
interface.
Wasn't it? It was the one, if you had a Command 8.
If you had a Command 8 and a rack, that was all right.
That was fine, yeah, because then you could have had a Command 8 because they were older than the 003, and I think they were slightly older than the 002. I mean, you could keep your controller and just change the interface. Or you could use it with an M-Box. Or you could use it with an HD system, those Command 8s, couldn't you? So it was a nice, affordable option. But the 003 was just, it was the all-in-one bundle, you know? And I remember buying that going, I don't need anything else. I've got a Mac, I've got a set of monitors, I've got a microphone, and I've got a 003. Done. You know, it comes with Pro Tools. That's all I needed. And that did me for years. You know, I didn't have to buy anything else. In fact, if I remember right, there was something like a plug-in bundle that came with it as well that was... I think you got like a cheap version of Melodyne, Isotope, Ozone.
Oh, the ignition pack.
That's right. So there's a lot of plugins.
I had the ignition pack. It was fantastic. I had Melodyne.
Yeah, that's it.
I had. Sorry, you can hear my dog barking. That's because RX didn't work very well tonight. my dog's just found a cat, I think, outside.
Yeah, but that ignition pack introduced me to loads of third-party plug-in.
IK Multimedia were in there, weren't they?
Sample Tank, they were.
Sample Tank, yeah, of course.
Absolutely. So that opened up loads of possibilities, that desk, and I'll never get rid of it. And it's really nice to see it back out again, getting used. The faders are horrifically out of alignment, and I am very tempted to crack it open and clean out the faders. I think I'm going to need a...
Yes, I'd suggest you use a screwdriver rather than cracking it open. That's just the use of a breeze block to get inside it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Is it just... No, I shouldn't start that, because the worst post of Facebook's recent history in our industry started with, is it just me? So I won't start anything with that line. We won't go there tonight. But I just don't have to wonder about stuff. I remember when I got a 002. I was filled with wonder, and because when you mentioned Sample Tank, I'd spent hours just mining through all the... Perhaps I'm just too busy to do it these days, but I don't have the same wonder about gear that I used to have, and perhaps I'm just getting old and bored and boring. Who knows? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Perhaps it's doing what we do.
I'm numb to it.
Maybe I am numb to it. You've got to do something very special in this industry to get my attention these days, and perhaps that's a good place to be. I've got a bullshit detector or
very
filter.
Very true. I mean, you know, what was it last year, or 18 months ago, I wrote an article of, you know, why I don't use hardware, you know, sort of outboard compressors and things. I just don't really bother with it. It's not really my bag. But now if you walk into my studio, I've been bitten by that bug, and I'm not interested in plugins that much. It's bizarre. We should just change our opinions. And you're right. It sometimes takes a really special product to make us go, oh, I really want to dig into this. And the 003 for me was one of those, oh, I'm gonna make some music. This thing's great. I love it. You know, didn't cost the earth. And
I was welded to mine. It was just brilliant. And I loved it. And you could take it to gigs as well and use it as a mixer in mixer mode, couldn't you?
The 002 you could, the 3 you couldn't.
There was no mixer mode on the 003.
No, they took that away, unfortunately.
Don't you love the way that the products get retrospectively downgraded as they improve them, quote unquote?
That's
interesting. Yeah. Mm. But Julian, you didn't really have any experience with this kind of stuff, mate.
I did, but I didn't own it myself. And this is probably why. It's just because, I was having a I don't know. I'd say a frank exchange of views with Dan, only he wasn't saying anything. It was just me telling Dan my views all about the sort of, what would we call them? I'm trying to avoid the word professional. Less expensive? I don't know, really. Control surface stuff, just because the first thing that you lose or used to lose, that's questionable these days, is build quality. It's kind of things get more lightweight construction, and the idea being that professionals need incredibly rugged tools because they're used all day every day, and the idea that that doesn't apply to gear that's used in education has always been a real red flag to me, just because professionals are grown-ups who look after their gear because they rely on it for their living, whereas students are using stuff. The gear is seeing use all day, every day, although not by the same people, which is even worse. And it's by kind of, you know, young people who don't necessarily treat it as well as it might do. If anywhere is the perfect testing ground for hardware,
it's
environments like that. And this was, I mean, we were talking specifically about the C24, actually. And I mean, Dan obviously loves the C24. And I don't share those feelings for it because I came quite close on buying one, and it's great for private use. I'm sure it's great, but I walked up to it and just went, I'd give that an afternoon in my environment before that's just powdered dust on the floor of the studio. Oh, it's kind of like
these are tough things, but I've got a toddler and he has taken I did have a toddler. He's now a thumping child. Yeah, he's pulled the fader caps off this thing so many times. You know, and I'm looking around the studio going, where's the other bloody fader caps? They've disappeared.
Well, which takes me to the story of the disappearing fader caps off the mixer I was telling you about today. Of like, they don't stick around.
No.
They just they disappear and they walk. And if something comes off, there was a story. I was I'd had a big drop of money, and I was looking to get a big, like, sort of flagship work surface controller for our main studio. Long time ago, I decided, no, we're not going to get a mixer, just because they don't get used in that environment. In very short sessions with rapid turnarounds, they just don't get used, and you end up having a laptop stand with the N2 channels being used, and that's it. So weren't going down that right route. The idea of a session just opening up and, you know, coming up on the surface worked, actually. In retrospect, it was a good idea. But at the time, this was, I don't know, when was this? It was years ago. The two available options were either a D-Control, or it was a crossover period when a System 5 was the other available option. And when I had a look at both of them, System 5 is lovely. Lots of really good use of colour, which is really good in that kind of environment. Lots of visual feedback's really helpful. And then you've got the even then quite old D-Control, and not cheap by any means. That was, you know, even that far in, it wasn't any cheaper than it always been. It was an expensive thing. But I walked up to it and went, that's built like a tank. I walked up to the System 5, and the first thing that happened was I reached out for an encoder and I pulled on it and it came off, and I went, well, that's a no then. Doesn't matter how good it is, we can't have it. And this is kind of where I'm going with this. And like I say, they're absolutely fine for a private use environment, but once it goes institutional, things have to be built so tough. And this was the gist of what my views on the C24 were. And it's not the fault of the C24; it's being misused by people who can't acquire a big enough budget to get something that I think is practical. That's all.
Just go back to the 003. As I said at the end of the article, if it wasn't for the 003, I don't think we would have so much choice these days. In this category, I really don't. Do you know what I mean? If no one bought 003s, why would third parties like PreSonus and all the others be making pretty cool 8 fader control surfaces? It just would die a death, wouldn't it? So,
but if there's so much, if the 003 was such a fantastic idea, why haven't Avid released a replacement for the Artist Mix that was an inherited product in the first place in all the time they've had
that
it?
That was Euphonics.
I don't disagree with you, but
that's
I'm
more
like,
about that's more about Avid than it is about that's more about just Avid not having the resources to do it, basically.
Mm. And the hardware part. I mean, we've covered this in the past, but and with the kind of whole hardware partners idea and development programs and stuff, and it's like, please just do it, because I agree completely. Loads of people want something that's better than an artist mix, and if it's the only option, people are holding off buying and looking for Huey based alternatives that really don't do as much, but they'll do for now because there's a demand for something that size.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on whether we got that right or wrong. Love your feedback, as long as it's nice.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, we've got an exclusive special offer just for you, our podcast listeners. In a moment, we're going to read out a special coupon code, so get a pen and paper ready. To get this offer, you must use the US dollar part of the Exponential Audio Store. It won't work in the euros part of the store, but don't worry. If you would use the euro part of the store or you're not US-based, the currency exchange will be handled automatically at the time of purchase. For the rest of this month, you can get stereo versions of Phoenix Verb, R2 or the stereo bundle of both with a 35% discount. But to get the discount, you must use this coupon code, PTE School Days. The code's case sensitive. PTE School Days is all one word and it's spelt capital P, capital T, capital E, then capital S, then lowercase K, U, L and E, then capital D, and then lowercase A, Z and E. This code will not be in the podcast notes, so you only hear it if you're listening to it on the podcast, as you must be to hear this.
Right, community feedback. Giuseppe Guarmien. I've probably just destroyed that guy's name. Anyway, GG, for you. Hi, I'm a big fan of the podcast. However, I'm asking if it's possible to listen to older episodes than the ones available on the page. Currently, the oldest is 309. Well, that's, I think the oldest Chinese woman is less than that, so you should be pleased. Thanks in advance and greetings from Italy. Ciao. Or whichever way around it is. Arrivederci. No, that's the... Forget it. No.
Stop it.
Stop now. You're showing British language skills at their best.
I struggle with English.
Yeah, I know you do. You're from the southeast of London. Mike says, because Mike isn't here, so we're going to read out what Mike says. Mike says, if you go to any podcast article and click the podcast category at the bottom, it will show you every story that's ever been done as a podcast. And it goes way, 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 way back to before 309. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by visiting the podcast page on the iTunes store. You should be able to access all the podcasts going way, 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 way back. There we go.
Yeah, you get to learn about Pro Tools 10 and everything if you go all the way back.
Yeah. You can get that prediction for the new
Pro Tools
interface that never arrived. Yeah. Anyway, questions from the community. These are sponsored by our friends at RSPE Audio.
The Pro Tools Expert Community Feedback is brought to you with the kind support of RSPE Audio Solutions. Great people and great prices.
We're starting a series of tips from our friends at RSPE Audio Solutions, as unlike some suppliers, they know a thing or two about the products they sell. The first tip is all about adding your default inserts from your Yukon Surface. Did you know that you can add your favourite EQ or Dynamics plugin with a single button pushed on your Yukon Surface? In Pro Tools, choose Setup, Preferences, then click the Mixing tab and make sure Auto Insert Default Plugins from Yukon Services is enabled. Then all you have to do is push EQ or Dynamics on your control surface. If the selected track doesn't have an EQ, your default EQ will be added, or press Dynamics to add your favourite compressor, etc.
Okay, Jack Rochford. Hi, when exporting my mix to MP3, all kick and bass sounds are heavily distorted and muddy. However, this doesn't happen when I'm playing it back in the DAW. I have my settings set properly using the highest bitrate, etc. I have no idea why this problem is occurring. I have tried everything but cannot find a solution. If you have any ideas, please let me know. Right, Mike again has been in on the script and had a little go at this. I'll start with Mike's and then we can throw this around the table. Mike says, with the info you have provided and no before and after examples to listen to, it is very difficult to comment. I would agree. Also, you do not say what data rate you are using on the MP3. One piece of advice I would offer is not to go above -3 dB true peak when processing audio with lossy codecs, especially MP3s. If you mix files
is very if your mix file is very close to digital headroom, you can overload the codec software. I would agree totally. Julian, have you got an idea?
I was just thinking, I've tried everything. I can think of something that I bet you haven't tried, which is turning it down. Because it sounds like overdriving the codec, absolutely. Mm. Sonox do great tools for previewing this stuff in real
and
time,
isotope.
if you want to kind of... True. Yeah. And it's shocking, actually. There's a video presentation that I saw of Thomas Lund, who's now with Genelec, but at the time was with TC Electronic, who's a very, very clever guy who knows exactly what he's talking about. And he put up a table of levels below 0dBFS at which different codecs at different bit rates start to clip. And for MP3, it was low. I mean, I think it might be 128. Don't quote me on this, but it's like 128 was something like -6 or something. It was kind of like, it was really, really low. And if people are using brick wall limiters, -0.1 dBFS, and then putting it through lossy codecs, then it's going to have some consequences, even if you're using AAC or, So, yeah, definitely, there are tools that can help with this, or just turn it down and then just keep bringing it up and having a listen and see where it starts to fall apart, because it won't be a hair's breadth below 0dBFS. Kinyan Mumo's been in touch. Hello, I'd like to ask a question. I run an MBOX 3 as an audio interface. On the output ports, there's the normal analog ports and two SPDIF ports. Can I use these SPDIF ports to mirror the analog outputs to an extra pair of speakers?
I think you can, yeah. And I think the first thing is that they're actually mirrored as the 102s, as the 1 and 2 output, aren't they, by default? That's my understanding.
From memory, that's what I think definitely used to happen in the default I/O. So if you just hit default, go to the output tab of I/O setup and hit default, then I think that's what you're going to get for the MBOX 3. An additional thing is, I don't know anything about how much you know about SPDIF ports, but hopefully you understand those are digital outputs. So whatever you connect them to has to accept an SPDIF input. It's not just
an analog
signal on SPDIFs. Yeah, because that will sound horrible if you connect that up to a phono input. So do be aware of that. But if you've got something with an SPDIF input or something that convert an SPDIF input, like a DA converter, to analog outputs, then it should work.
Yes, it should.
Brett Watchorn, I just purchased a year-long subscription and Pro Tools 12.4 keeps crashing when trying to load plugins Verify and Expand 2. What can I do so that I'm not feeling like I'm wasting good earned money on a non-returnable product? Well, it's a shame you're having some problems there, Brett. Two things I can think of. First is take those plugins out of the plugin folder and see if it is those plugins causing issue, first and foremost, just to see if it's not something else, a different plugin maybe that's causing you problems, like a third-party plugin maybe. I've never had Avid plugins cause problems. Don't know about you guys.
It depends which versions he has of them. If he's got older versions or he's got incompatible versions. The number one way to crash virtually any door on the planet is by having bad plugins or out-of-date plugins. I'd always say that. So yeah. I would say first check you've got the latest version of those plugins and that they are, make sure you've got the latest versions. You can go into your Avid account and go to My Software and Downloads, and in there you'll see the downloaders. And just make sure, what I would do first is delete any of those plugins, I mean remove them entirely from your plugin folder, and then install them again. I would almost say that in the several decades or over 20 years of using Pro Tools, that the number one way to crash Pro Tools is with bad plugins. That would be my own view on that. Julian?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just get into your plugins folder, move the stuff that you don't like the look of into the unused plugins folder and go from there. Start with nothing, make sure everything's good. And there's a technique we've got detailed on the site about it takes no more than, what is it, 6 or 7
eight.
Moves
Half
to
eight
find.
Moves eight moves. Eight. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many plugins you've got in that plugin folder, the quickest way to find out the bad ones is to split them in half and just keep halving them. And then you'll find the bad ones. So if that makes any sense to you, so take half the, to take your list and break it into half, load the first half. If they all load, then load the second half separately. If that crashes it, then break those into half again, then do the same process until you get down to one plugin. 8 plugins it takes you. It doesn't matter how big your plugin folder is.
Yeah, nice
tip. It's a magic trick from Jeff at Synchro Arts. He told me that years ago. He's a smart guy. So shout out to Jeff tonight and the Synchro Arts posse, crew, whatever you say these days, when you're down with the kids.
Massive.
The massive.
I feel so old. I feel so old when my teenagers text me. My daughter texted me earlier with this random word like "kio" or something like that. I went, "Thanks for making me feel old today, sweetheart." That's
well, you are old if you're still texting. They're all WhatsApping, mate, now, and face fingering or whatever it's called. Yeah, I would say my wife only uses WhatsApp or whatever it is because she can then tell when I've read it, so I can't pretend I haven't seen it.
So it's the kids' version of the passive aggressive email read receipt.
Yeah,
excellent.
The Pro Tools Expert Podcast is created using Source Connect Now from Source Elements. Register now for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
If you've ever tried to do interviews over the internet with apps like Skype, you know how hit and miss the audio quality and connection can be. And even on a good day, it isn't really good enough for a long-form interview. We now use Source Connect Now, which offers ISDN equivalent quality audio using a Chrome browser. No software to install. To get your free account, follow the link in the podcast notes. So, find of the week.
Hi, you're listening to the Pro Tools Expert Podcast Find of the Week, proudly sponsored by Synchro Arts.
Synchro Arts are proud to announce the release of Revoice Pro 4, the ultimate toolbox for timing and pitch adjustment, containing over 70 new features and improvements to sonic output, workflow and performance. Revoice Pro 4 can save you hours of editing time in the studio, ensure high production values and help you achieve your creative vision. Get a free 14-day trial over at synchroarts.com today and take advantage of the 20% off introductory pricing on all new licenses and upgrades.
So, Julian, what's your find of the week? What's tickled your fancy?
My find of the week is last week's Friday Free plugin, which is the BOD or Bass Overdrive from TSE Audio. It's an AAX version of the little black and yellow Sansamp Bass Overdrive pedal, which I love. I used to use that regularly in a band that I was in, and it just sounds right. It's great. And yeah, I tried it out. It's if it isn't identical, it's extremely close because it does the thing that I like so much in that pedal. And it's a freeware AX plugin that does something that I like. So what could be better than that, you know? So yeah, that's mine. What about you, Dan?
I've finally given in. I've ordered an 11 rack. So my find of the week is in transit, but really the find of the week was the deal. I got it for £330, new. That's insane. It's just the hardware. It's not with Pro Tools. So if you buy an 11 rack, you get Pro Tools 12 one-year subscription. I think that's 2018, what they really mean. But that's about £500, I think. And I thought, well, I don't need that. I've already got two licenses for Pro Tools. It's kind of a waste of money. I'm interested in the hardware. And for £330, you know, that's a handful of, you know, premium guitar pedals. And I know, Russ, you've got one. You swear by it. James, loads of us on the team have them, except for me. So I always felt a little bit left out. So I thought, well, yeah, I'm going to buy one before they stop making it. And yeah, very much looking forward to that turning up.
Nice. You will not. You will not regret that.
No,
that is a superior piece of kit.
Well, I enjoyed it. Yours when I come around your place a few months ago. I thought that was really nice.
It's got Paul Drew's presets in it as well. So if you ask Paul, he'll send you a load of presets that he's made because Paul is guitar guru of the decade.
And very nice.
He's done some really cool presets for it. So, yeah, they're dead easy. But make sure you download the software as well so you can control it from your computer because that's really handy when it's over the other side of the room and you just want to change something quickly. In fact, I find editing the only thing I don't like about the 11 rack is it's kind of like wallpapering the front room through it. It's got the old fashioned, you know, the days of the Akai samplers and stuff. You've got to edit through a single screen. So the app is just so essential for editing quickly and stuff like that.
Good Good tip. Russ, what's your find of the week?
Well, my find of the week is about last week, but it made it find of the week because of that. So for those who didn't hear on last week's show, I was moron of the week last week because 45 minutes into last week's show, I suddenly realised I'd not armed the track I was recording. Thankfully, Mike was recording a feed of Source Elements Now, which is what we talk about every week on the show. And if you hear my the recording of me from last week isn't my WAV file, which they'd normally be working with, but the audio that Mike had been listening to over the web via a Chrome browser for free, which saved the show. So it saved the show. It saved my ass. You all got a great podcast because of it. If you don't use Source Elements yet, just do it because it's just brilliant. And just go and listen to the quality. As I say, there's no Skypey robot moments. It's just rock solid and utterly brilliant. So it's like using ISDN, but without the money or the cable or everything else that goes with ISDN. So moron of the week became find of the week for me. And with that admission in the confessional, it's good night from me, Father.
It's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Good night.